Fred Film Radio is joining the Sydney Film Festival Australia.
Joining us at this time is Robin Petray, director of From the Wild Sea. The film has been screened at a number of festivals throughout the year and was also selected as part of Europe, Voices of Women in Film, a showcase of wide-ranging films from European women filmmakers organised by European Film Promotion to screen at the Sydney Film Festival in Australia. Robin, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's a real pleasure to have you. We'll be talking about your new film, From the Wild Sea, which just briefly, just to tell our listeners who are not familiar with it, documents the amazing work of marine animal rescue organizations. And we'll be getting into it a bit more. But first, this is the first time we talk, so I always kind of like to find out more about the person I'm interviewing. And I've been reading a little bit about you, and I read that you have a background in media and journalism. Is that right?
Well, when I was quite young, I studied journalism, yeah. But then I didn't really feel like that world resonated with me as much as the art world. So I actually made a career change in my late 20s and became a filmmaker instead.
There's a difference. It's kind of a leap, right? When you jump from journalism and reporting to actually documentary, you mentioned art. So that was a significant change for you.
Definitely. It was a huge change, actually. And I did have to unlearn again some of the journalistic methods that I had been working with for years at that time, during my studies and also afterwards. But yeah, like I said, I was actually even since I was a child and a teenager, I was very drawn to the arts world. And somehow that path found me eventually.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the reason why I brought that up, and we'll be getting into it a bit more later as we talk about From the Wild Sea, is that in a documentary like this, I guess, that talks about, you know, serious issues, and it really feels like there's an artistic element to it. And we'll be getting into it more. But first, another thing that I read about you is that you also have an MA in documentary film directing from Doc Nomad, which I wasn't familiar with, but it's essentially, from what I understand, it's basically a traveling film school. What was that experience like?
It is actually, it's a quite amazing initiative. I think it's a collaboration between different universities in three countries. So Belgium, Hungary and Portugal. And these three different universities are creating this master's degree. So they bring in students from all over the world. And we're around 20, 25 people, young people who are studying in these three different schools and learning. I mean, basically the essence of that program is to learn to just throw yourself into making films, making a project, in a totally unknown environment, in a different country where you don't know the language, you don't know anyone, and how to build something from nothing. And the program has a very creative, artistic, focus in nonfiction film.
Anyways, as mentioned, From the Wild Sea documents the work of marine animal rescue organizations. This is not the first time that you've explored the theme of human-animal experience and coexistence. Why do you feel this theme close to you?
Well, that's true. Actually, From the Wild Sea is part of a bigger artistic exploration of human-animal relations and our coexistence with nature. And it's something I've been working with for years and something I also hope to continue working with for the next foreseeable future. This is very close to me because I grew up in a national park in Denmark in a very small village. Surrounded by nature and wildlife, and we had all kinds of animals as well. I grew up in a large house with a large and wild garden. I loved to explore this place, this garden, and to see and observe also the wild animals there. Even as a kid, I was super fascinated with other life than human life on the planet. So it's almost like when some people are so curious about space, you know, like Mars and the moon, and you want to go explore something in the galaxy. I feel a bit that same fascination, I think, with, for instance, wild animals in the sea that live in this mysterious world that is largely hidden to us. Like we don't see what's underneath the surface. We just see the surface itself. And it's just really fascinating to me that we actually share this world with so many other forms of life. And I think they're really interesting. And I think that we can learn so much from them as well. I'm not in doubt at all that animals have agency, have like thought processes, and that they are someone, not just like objects jumping around because of instincts. I actually think that they have personalities and, you know, like they're someone. And I wanted to film them as such, like subjects, not objects.
So you mentioned that this is kind of a major theme that you focus in your work. So when you begin a project, then is it a case of you're already filming? Maybe you're gathering material that you know you're going to use for a project. Do you set out to film a specific thing? In this case, wild animals of the sea.
Well, I mean, I certainly don't set out with a fixed agenda. Like, I'm not trying to prove anything about, for instance, climate change. Climate change is a part of From the Wild Sea, and it's an important part. But I didn't set out beforehand to prove anything about this. Instead, I like to make my project sort of like a journey. And I also hope to maintain a bit of this feeling of a journey, or like an exploration that is driven by curiosity. As you're watching the film. And yeah, so I never know beforehand where I might end up. If I already knew, it doesn't almost make any sense for me to begin the project. It's very much driven by my own curiosity about this world as well.
And by the way, you know, just out of curiosity, was there anybody whose work you kind of looked up to, or that you sort of admired, that did a similar thing to what you're doing now?
I mean, there's like a whole host of references, of course, that go before any work. Something that I looked to a lot in this particular film is the Sensory Ethnography Lab. There's this duo, Verena Paravel and Lucienne Castang-Taylor, and they made a film that is called Leviathan. It's a pretty recent film, and it's really rid of words and obvious stated meaning, fixed meaning. Like it's a very sensory work, and it's almost like a meditative journey on this large industrial fishing ship that is also exploring some of the same themes that I'm interested in. So that, for instance, was a really important reference.
And I think, Robin, it would be good to talk about these organizations a little bit more. Can you tell me a bit more about them?
Yes, of course. The people that we see in the film, the majority of them are volunteers. They are part of a huge volunteer network. And especially in England, in the UK, they have this large network of more than 2,000 volunteers, and the network is actually growing. There's a growing interest in marine wildlife rescue. And what I like so much about these people is that they are not all professionals. It's really nice and good and great to be a professional and do this work, study biology or something like this and go into this work. But what I like so much is that it's something that you or me or anyone could participate in. Like anyone can walk in from the street and have some initial training and do something. And I think that creates a lot of hope for me, at least. And I hope for people who watch the film as well, that we can all do something to make this planet a bit of a better place, not just for humankind, but for all living things.
And what are the names of these organizations? I just kind of want to use this opportunity to spread the word.
Yes. So it's BDMLR, British Divers Marine Life Rescue in the UK, and Seal Rescue Ireland. And then the third group of organizations, the ones who are saving the birds in the film, they are actually, it was an emergency response. So different organizations came from all over the world, from the United States, all over Europe, from Brazil came an organization, and it was like a joint effort to try to rescue these hundreds of birds from an oil spill. So I cannot pinpoint like one organization in this case, but yeah, it was really fascinating as well to see how people really came from so far away, like across the globe, to try and do something for these birds. It was really fascinating.
A couple of things I wanted to ask you about, because I'm also fascinated with this topic. I try to be a champion of animal rights too, because I just, you know, I love animals. But here, one thing, obviously this is a celebration also of the work of these rescuers, many of whom are volunteers, and really, I mean, it's amazing what they do. But what about you? Because you find yourself in the midst of these scenes where there's a lot of animals suffering, and obviously it's a lot of, you know, pain that they go through. Does it ever become a lot for you to take in? I mean, what about your own empathy? How does it feel?
In this regard, I feel that the camera, the tool of the camera, becomes sort of a way of distancing yourself a little bit from what's happening as it is unfolding. Of course, afterwards, you can allow yourself to feel the tragedy of losing one of these animals, or the frustration of not being able to rescue a dolphin or a whale. But still, in this point or in this situation, I'm really concentrated on the work, on the image and the next image and the framing and who's saying what and where are the people and, you know, everything that's going on. So the work itself becomes sort of, yeah, it creates sort of a distance that makes everything more digestible. It's a horrible word, maybe, but it's not me. It's me at work. And there's a difference between these two. So I'm super concentrated and less emotionally available to the tragedy of what might be going on.
Yeah, and speaking about the camera, I want to talk a little bit about the style of this documentary, because in a way, I found it to defy what I guess the general perception of these types of documentary is with the wider public. For example, one of the things that I found was that I was drawn to its atmosphere. I had this impression that at some points the rhythm too was influenced by emotion of the waves of the sea, for example. Very sensorial experience. So how important was style for you in the making of From the Wild Sea?
Style, form, all of this is everything. That is the film. That is the construction of the film, that you're supposed to, with your creative team, make all of these components come together and create this sensorial experience for the audience in the end. What was a leading way through in combining all these different elements of the film was this idea of establishing an animal perspective and how to do this. And this means that I really didn't want to film the animals, as you see on TV, typically in a conventional nature documentary, which I also enjoy this kinds of film. But I felt that our whole society is so information driven. We are bombarded with information every day, news, just like pieces of information that we have to take in with our intellectual minds. And I thought that there's really room, there's really a gap where we don't see this other approach that has to do more with something that you can't describe with words. Yeah. A feeling, an ambience, a smell, that's something like memories that are like not even memories of your conscious self, but maybe like childhood memories that you are not even aware of anymore. But like art has this power to evoke these kinds of latent memories and sensorial experiences from the past as we're watching. And I wanted to have this totally different approach. One, because I didn't want to add to this endless stream of information that I feel like that's what most people do. There's so much out there of that, especially with these topics of climate change and so on. And the other thing was the animal perspective, that if we just had people talking and explaining all the time the behavior of each animal and what's going on, then the whole film would still just be talking to us in a language that only translates to humankind. And I really wanted to give the animals space to just be themselves. Yeah. And there is also a sense of distance in this regard, some people note. But it's because, like, if you have these long takes and you just have a seal do what it does, then that is more truthful for me than editing on different close-ups, like directing the attention of the audience to different details. Mm. That would be my own subjective human translation of that situation, pulled down over this animal all the time. And I wanted to take this huge step backwards, which creates the distance, but also creates a truthfulness, a sense of real time, a sense of unmanipulated nature, you can say, or just the animal as it is on its own premise. And cinematically, I was very interested in this because that almost doesn't exist.
Yeah. No, I understand exactly what you're saying. Let me just give an example because
that's
I love
good because I got a bit sidetracked there.
No. This is something that it gives me a chance also to just share my own opinion on this film, which I found very powerful. One of the things that I thought was powerful, and this is just a small example, but I thought it was very significant, was that I realized that the power of hearing animal breathing. This is not something that you hear a lot, not even in these documentaries. And there's, I think one of the most powerful scenes that I've seen all year is this long shot of this group of swans at the back of a car being taken back to, I guess, their natural habitat breathing. And you can't beat the power of a simple scene like that. You really can't. But it's something that's really rarely seen. So, no, I love that you said that because I guess it worked. It worked. I can definitely say that. That's true.
Well, I'm happy to hear it. That is one of my favorite shots, actually, in the whole film, personally.
All right, so we actually are running out of time. This has been a fascinating conversation so far. So I'd like to just end it with a general question. Given the fact that you have mentioned kind of your the major theme of your let's say mission as a documentary filmmaker, what do you think then is the situation at this point in terms of environmentalism and in terms of animal welfare? Do you think that enough is being done? Do you think that, I guess there is a growing awareness compared to maybe a few years ago, but do you think that it's enough awareness these days?
I mean, I can only speak from my own personal impressions, which is so limited, right? But in the making of From the Wild Sea, I definitely had this hopeful feeling of the new generations, like all these young people with so much environmental awareness and care and effort put into what they do. I mean, random people, anyone, you and me, anyone can join these groups, right? And do something. You don't have to be an animal professional to join these networks and make your own difference in the world. And that was great to see. But that said, I mean, we also have all these politics, like these political barriers, and it feels like they are being pushed, but it's too little too late. Again and again and again. So there's definitely a lot of frustration mixed with this hope. And yeah, I'm still overall hopeful because I guess I have to be, but I feel like there's so much room for improvement in this area. And yeah, we really are running out of time when you listen to science. And that's also a side effect of doing the work that I do, because I actually look a lot into scientific reports and I speak with people who have a scientific background and they work firsthand with these issues. And when you really dig into these problems of the changing climate and ecosystem collapse and biodiversity loss, the future looks really bleak. And it's just to say that there is so much we have to do, and we have to do it now. And it's totally overwhelming for the individual. But of course we can save the planet if we all do something, and especially if we organize ourselves. I'm really, really against, I just want to add, I know we're out of time, but I just want to add that I'm really, really against shaming each other and sort of arguing who is flying, who is eating meat, who is, I don't know, taking a long shower and using a lot of water. I think this is not what it's about. I think we need systematic structural changes, really. We need to ban all the plastic wrapping on bananas and apples in the supermarket. Like it shouldn't be up to the individual to shame each other for buying a plastic wrapped apple. It shouldn't even be an option, because politicians politicians should ban this plastic from being there in the first place. I think we need to, that's what I mean with wanting to have us organize ourselves and really push for these large changes in the system.
Absolutely. Well, Robin, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Thanks very much for joining us. I remind our listeners, the film is called From the Wild Sea, and definitely recommend it. Thanks a lot, Robin.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.